See, I wonder what would be the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about God. And I want to do a test right now. What is the first thing, you can shout it out, that comes to mind when you hear the word God? Love, hope, holy. Anybody else? What do you think when you think about God? Holy. You know, I mean, some of us, you know, there was a Morgan Freeman had this show like, who is God? That like people want to know who this God is that we talked about. And perhaps you have already your perception. You didn't shout it out, but you do believe about something about God. If somebody were to ask you, who is God? You would come up, it's like, oh, God is love or mercy or grace. God is something for you. For millennia, people have been wrestling with that question, who is God? You know, and you hear, there's so many religions in this world. There's so many gods, in a sense. But who is this God that you and I come and worship and we sing songs and we do meditations? And it prompts you to get up in the morning on Sunday and go to church. Who is this God that we profess to worship? Have you ever thought about that question? God has so many attributes. And this morning, Joey Garrido was talking about, too, like there are so many churches in our society that they just choose to highlight certain attributes of God. For instance, love, because, you know, it makes them comfortable. But in order for us to do justice to who God is, we have to highlight all the attributes of God, because just as he is loving, but he's also just, and he will punish wickedness. So who is this God? Who is God? So in the Bible, you have what we know as communicable attributes of God. When scholars talk about communicable attributes, what it means is these attributes of God can be transmittable. It's something that God has that you and I can also possess, in case you didn't know. That's what the word communicable means. If you Google it, you look it up. For instance, we have those attributes such as holy, love, mercy. God is just, gracious, faithful, truthful, patient, and wise. Those are transmittable attributes of God. You and I can have them too. So they are true of God, but they can also be true of us. Think about it, like, wow. Now, God does have other attributes. They're called incommunicable, like eternal or omniscient. You know, those like omnipotent, like all-powerful. You and I cannot be all-powerful. You and I cannot aim for those incommunicable attributes. You and I can aim for the communicable or transmittable attributes of God, gracious, faithfulness, just. You and I can be just, loving, you know. So that's what I want to talk to you about, getting to know God. What does God expect of you and me this morning? Now, think about some of those attributes that I just highlighted, that Jerry was pointing out there on the PowerPoint. How would that knowledge that God is blank affect the way we live? How would that knowledge that God is loving affect how you live your life? How would the knowledge of God being just affect the way you and I live our lives? How would the knowledge of God being gracious change the way we live in our society today? Think, have you ever thought about that for a moment? Because if we know already that he is that, how should then we live our lives in this society? We sang today, and I don't know if you pay attention to the theme as they were singing the songs, this idea of his holiness. One of the attributes of God that's repeated the most in the Bible is the holiness of God. Not even his love. The holiness. Because you and I need to understand that the love of God is something that has to do with his holiness. Because he's holy, then he can love you. The holiness of God is all throughout the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. Holiness can be defined as the sum of all moral excellency. Holiness, being holy, carries the idea of being set apart, sacred, separate, possessing utter purity of character. That's what the word holiness means. And we say, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory, the holiness of God. Now, it's interesting because we said the holiness of God can be communicable. It can be transmittable to you and I, so you and I can also be holy. And it's like, but not like God, but you see that God expects his people to also be holy, separate, distinct, set apart. Now, let me give you some of you who take notes, let me give you some things so that you see this word holiness. Like I said, the attribute of God that appears the most in all Scripture, holy. You hear that all over the place. Holy. Oh, he made something holy. He consecrated that. For instance, the word holy appears over more than 500 times in the Bible. Just the word, just the adjective holy, more than 500 times in the Bible. Now, the verb form sanctify appears more than 200 times. You know, when God said consecrate yourself, sanctify yourself, that appears more than 200 times. Now, 29 times in the Bible, 29 times the Bible mentioned God's holy name. Like sometimes you hear the holy Lord, holy Yahweh or Elohim. So 29 times the Bible mentioned God's holy names. Yahweh, the Lord, Jehovah, is also called the Holy One of Israel. Holy One of Israel. 25 times just in the book of Isaiah. You're going to find the Holy One of Israel 25 times throughout the 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah. Amazing. The word holy appears all over the place. So it's almost like, you know how it is? Like we repeat something a lot because we want people to get it. You know how it is? Like you repeat certain things to the kids. Like you repetition. It's because we don't want to miss it. So if the Bible is repeating this idea of God being holy, it's because he doesn't want us to miss that he is set apart. He's distinct. He's separate from everything else that he created. And God doesn't want you to miss him. How holy he is. How excellent in his purity this God that we worship is. Look at Exodus 15:11. Says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in what? Holiness. Awesome in glorious deed, doing wonders. 1 Samuel 2:2, he talks about, it says, there is none holy like Yahweh, like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. My friends, the holiness of God is the only attribute that's repeated three times. What do I mean by that? Holy, holy, holy. You never hear God is love, love, love. Or God is mercy, mercy, mercy. Or God is just, just, just. But you always hear God is holy, holy, holy. And that's what they say in heaven, by the way. Perhaps you didn't know that, but it's interesting. The only attribute in the Bible that's repeated three times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Isaiah 6, 3. He says the seraphim, the angels in heaven, they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, you wonder why three times? Because he doesn't want you to miss it. Three times, the only attribute of God, like I said, repeated three times, is the attribute, the holiness of God. Isaiah 6:3 and also Revelation 4:8. In Revelation 4:8, again, that's happening in heaven. You hear what the creatures, the living creatures are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. Wow, amazing. Like the holiness of God is all through the Bible, and the only one repeated three times is holy, 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 holy is God, the Lord God Almighty. Like I said, you will never find any... Even his love or grace, God is grace, 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 never. He's always holy, 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 three times. Now, we talk about God being holy. You see, holiness saturates the entire Christian walk. The entire Christian calling that we've been called by this holy guy is saturated by the holiness of God. The gospel message, at the center of it, is the holiness of God as well. Gospel was possible because this holy God did something to save us. Holiness is one attribute of God that you and I can reflect. And now this is where perhaps like, well, how if God is so holy and separate, how can we even possibly reflect his holiness? I mean, that's impossible. But he said that we can be holy. And we're going to see, that's the text that we're going to find out. How can you and I possibly reflect God's holiness? So majestic, how can you and I possibly reflect it? Well, let me give you some scripture for you to keep. Now, the Bible teaches us that humanity was created in the image of God. I mean, think about for a moment. God gave humanity, mankind, something that he did not give to any other creation. If the word holy means set apart, God already set apart humanity just by creating them distinct, separate from the rest of creation. You see, when God created everything, he said it was good. When he created mankind, he said what? It was very good. And then he said, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the earth and over the livestock of the land. Rule over. God placed mankind and he created them distinct. Genesis 1:26, the Lord said, let us make man in our image. So mankind became an image bearer. We are bearing the image of God. The moment God created mankind, so we are not like the animals. Now, because of sin, we can tend to be sometimes like animals, but God created us set apart. So even from there, you see that God created you and I to reflect his image. We are to reflect the image of God. And one of those, you know, God gave mankind the ability to rule, the ability to create things. There was something that in our DNA that God put in there. And that's why you and I are image bearers. So God created mankind in his own image. His people were to reflect his attributes, his qualities, his characteristics. But you know that in Genesis 3, something happens. We rebel against God. The fall of mankind. That's also known as the curse. Something happened to humanity and they fell from God's grace. And you see the story of Adam and Eve, and what happened in Genesis 3 is that we distanced ourselves from God. And our image in God wasn't lost, but it was damaged. The image of God in us was tarnished by something called sin. Now, mind you, stay with me for a moment. You still have the image of God in you, but it's not perfect. It's not like it used to be in Genesis 1 and 2. We have the image of God, but it's being stained by sin. We still can love, but not to the full potential. We still can do, but because we've been tarnished, stained by something called sin. We separated ourselves from our Creator. We ran away from him. The image of God in us is damaged. That's why, I mean, you see it today. When you have a baby, you never had to teach that baby to get angry or to throw a temper. It comes in the package because of the fall now. You know, mankind, Genesis 1 and 2, you see, it was a perfect world. But Genesis 3 changed the story. And the image of God suffered. You know, the image of God got stained, damaged in us. Now, why am I telling you that? Because that's also, you start to understand why God had to do something to bring us back to himself. That's why later on, Jesus had to come to fix that problem. Because you and I cannot fix it. We are born after Eden, after the fall. So we're born into this fallen world that we have to deal with sicknesses, people dying, we have to deal with. That's part of the curse. The earth suffered everything because of the fall of mankind. We ran away from God and God was pursuing us. God decided to take it upon himself. He took the initiative to bring us back to himself. And then he began to call certain people like Noah, people like Abraham, to tell him, hey, I'm about to do something. I'm going to establish a covenant, and through you, I'm going to bring out the whole world. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. So God began to call people to himself. And it's interesting because when God calls certain people, he set up boundaries. He set up parameters by which those people were to live. For instance, to the Israelites became God's children, God's holy nation. Why do we say that the Israelites were God's holy nation? Because there were so many other nations around the land, and God said, you're going to be now holy. In other words, set apart. You're going to be consecrated. You're going to be distinct from the other nations on earth. At one time, God told the Jewish people, I will be your God and you will be my people. Even though the whole earth is mine, you will be my treasure, possession. Be holy because I am holy. Be set apart. Be distinct. Be separate. That's what the Lord was telling the Israelites. And the Israelites' holiness depended upon obedience to God's command, what he told them. So see, God began to call people to reflect him again, to reflect him once again, to reflect his goodness, his holiness. In Leviticus 11:44 and 45:19, God is calling these lives, be holy because I am holy. That happens a lot in the scripture too. Not just in the Old Testament, but you have that also in the New Testament. Holiness, my friends, is both given to us and asked of us. Holiness is both given to us, but it's also required of us. Let me explain that for a second. It's given to us because, you know, you and I cannot be holy on our own. God will see you and I holy because of the sacrifice of Jesus. You are set apart. You're righteous now. God sees you holy, set apart because of what Jesus did on the cross. That sets you apart from the rest of creation because Jesus sacrificed. Now you are justified. You are glorified. You are set apart by God. So it's given to you. But now that you've been set apart, He expects you to live as somebody who's been set apart. Are you with me? You understand what we're talking about now? So it's given to you, but it's also asked of you. You're holy. You are holy. Be holy. You are holy, but act, conduct in a manner that reflects the holiness of God. Hebrews 10:10, it says, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. What he's talking about is that now because of we believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, God sees you and I holy, set apart. Just like he saw the nation of Israel, a holy nation, people belonging to God. You are set apart. You are holy. Since we're already being set apart, our job now is to live holy lives. So it's given to us, but it's also asked of us. And we're going to see that passage in 1 Peter 1, 13 through 17. That's really our text for today. See, God's people are called to be holy in this world. But what does that actually mean? Let's go to that text in 1 Peter 1. Now, the Apostle Peter is writing to Christian people, to the churches, and he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Prepare your minds for action, Peter is saying to the Christian. Get ready to act. As obedient children, he says, as the one who calls you is holy, you too be holy. He said, so that takes us all back to the Old Testament and the Israelites. So the church now is called the holy people, the people of God. They're made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus, but then God is saying, be holy in all you do. Be holy in your conduct, in your behavior. Now, what does that mean to be holy? To live holy in our society, in our world, means to live a life of obedience to God. To live a life of obedience to His will. Whatever God's want. Since I'm separate, I'm set apart by Him, I had to abide by His will. Not my will, but His will. So to live holy in our society means you live in obedience to the Lord. Because He's holy, He calls you to be holy. My friends, you reflect God's holiness when you don't live to please your sinful desire. How do we reflect the holiness of God in our society when we don't live in the flesh, when we don't live to fulfill the desires of our flesh, the desires of our sinful nature? Look what it says, as obedient children, our text again, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. How do you and I reflect the holiness of God in our society today? When we stay away from sinful behavior, when we stay away from sin, we don't go back. Remember what I talked about last week? You were paying attention to this whole idea of darkness and light. You're holy when you stay in the light. But if you go back to darkness, at that moment, you're not living holy for the Lord. You're not being separated because you're mingling again with the sinful nature. So we reflect God's holiness by living lives set apart for Him and His will. Staying away from the sinful behavior. I mean, that's what Paul also wrote. In Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His pleasing and perfect will. Not conforming to the desires of our sinful nature, not conforming to the ways of the world. That's how you and I live set apart lives, sanctified lives for our holy God. Since God called you to be holy, He says, be holy. Verse 16. My friends, holiness is evident in our actions, by the way. It is in what we do that we either reflect the holiness of God or we don't. It's never a middle ground. I mean, Jesus said that to a church, that you're either hot or cold. Now, this, and He doesn't like lukewarmness. It's like one or the other. So you're either reflecting God today or not. And you know, we know how it is. Sometimes at one time we reflect His holiness by our action, but tomorrow then we're not. So look what the text says. Verse 15. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Some translation which says, be holy in all your conduct. And your all you do means your actions. So our actions will reflect God's holiness or they will not. It's the deeds, our works, whatever we do. So what is God doing here? He's calling His people to do things that will reflect His nature. To act on things. To make decisions that will reflect His character, His nature, His holiness. That, you know, be holy in all you do, the Apostle Peter said. So God is calling us. Being holy in this world means to live lives in obedience to God's standard and not the world's standard. Our actions, our deeds must reflect the God that we claim to worship. He wants His people to be set apart in this world. What this means is there got to be something that separates us. There got to be a distinction between God's people and those who are not God's people. The Bible calls them sheep and goats. You can tell which one is which. When the Bible talks about you are being holy, you're being set apart, you got to be distinct. It's like night and day. When we talk about being holy, it means like people can recognize that by your actions that you are reflecting God's holiness in what you do. There should always be something that separates us from the world, and that will be the holiness of God. How we reflect who God is with our lives. How we live in our lives. How we conduct ourselves in this world. How we do business with other people. How we even drive our cars. How we even talk to people. There got to be something that separates us, because if we're set apart by God, He expects us to behave this way rather than the other way. Between the world and Christians, there got to be a huge gulf, a huge chasm. You know, we're not supposed to be, we're either with God or we're not. Jesus said, you are either with me or you are against me. So when He's talking about be set apart, be holy, so people have to be able to distinguish that even by how you behave, how you conduct, how you do business with other people, that people will say, like, there's something weird or different about you. I don't quite get it, but what is it? You know what it is? The holiness of God. Because we're operating now by a different standard than the world. If we go back into the standard of the world, we're not being set apart. If we do business the way the world does business, we're not being set apart. We're not reflecting God's holiness. It got to be obvious. You got to be evident. Being holy, I love verse 17. You know what it means to be holy in the world? You are to live as a foreigner. You are to live as a stranger in this world. I mean, how many times we hear the Bible says that our citizenship is not from here? And we kind of like forget that, you know, we belong to a kingdom. Even though we live in a democracy here, truly we belong to a kingdom. We are to behave as kingdom people. So look at what Peter said to those Christians. He says, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as foreigners, as strangers, in reverent fear. Holiness means that you and I live as if we were like strangers passing by, because we know this is not our home. And so you see, the holiness of God means like we reflect Him when we, even though, yes, this is our world and we're to care for it, but this is not going to be your world. you live as a stranger in the world. What does that mean? That it's almost like people see you and like, man, what country are you from? Because like, really, that's how you do things? Yeah, I do things now because I belong to the, I'm a kingdom person. And God's calling me to be distinct, separate, sanctified, consecrated for Him. So it shouldn't look like you. It shouldn't feel the same way. So that's what the Bible is calling you and I to be, you know, set apart for God. If the world, the ways of the world, they're too comfortable for us, there's a problem, my friends. If we want to fit into the world, you know, sometimes, oh, you know, like, yes, you shouldn't fit in. You shouldn't fit in the ways. You know, it should be like that. Like, you know, like the little shape that kids like to play. There's a hole. There's like a circle. There's a square. There's a triangle. If the world is a circle, you should be a square. You shouldn't fit in there. But some of us want to just like chisel that square and kind of like, we're not being set apart then. The Bible says you live in the world even though you are not of it. So that's what it means to live as strangers in this world. Your way should always be distinct, different from how the world does things. Otherwise, then you're conforming to the pattern. So Peter said to those people, live as strangers. That people look at you and they think that you're like, you're so weird, you're a stranger. They don't quite get you. Yeah, you shouldn't get them. Get Christians because they belong to a monarchy. They belong to a kingdom. They're kingdom people and they operate by a different standard than the world. Of course, it's going to be different. It should. Just as He who called you is holy, be holy because I am holy, says the Lord. So be set apart, separate. You know, let me just give an example. In the second century, fourth century, there was a lot of monks and things. And people misunderstood the whole idea of the word holy. They thought, holy means I should not be in society. Holy means I should not hang out with people who are not Christians. That's not what holy means. Holy means you are in there, but you don't act like them. And there were a lot of people, they created monasteries and they went to live on caves because they say, I got to be separated. I should not be with those people because we are in the world even though we're not of it. Holy means that even though you can mingle with a lot of people and you can just go when people having all kinds, I mean, even a party, you invited to a party. There got to be something different how you act in that party than the rest of the world. Are you with me? So something... You have a different standard. You have a different perspective. So people had to see that. But if you're mingling with everybody else and doing the same thing everybody else doing, you just conform to the world. You did not act separate. You see, I heard people say, well, I had to curse because I live in New York. If you are one of those people, you're conforming to the world. Who says that you got to curse because you live in a place that everybody curses? So you got to curse every time you see an R-rated movie? We are separated. So even how we talk to people, even how you are mad at somebody and you're telling the truth without swearing, got to be distinct. Got to be separated. Jesus got angry at some people, even to the point that He kicked them out of the temple, but He never cursed anybody. So it got to be something that set us apart, even how we talk, how we conduct, how we do business in this world, that people realize, you know, I want to do business with you because you're like, you're so... loyal. Something about you. You know what that something is? You're reflecting God's attributes. My friends, you and I are God's image bearers. We've been created to reflect Him everywhere we go. And one of those ways that we can reflect God is by His holiness. He said, being holy, holy, set apart even how we behave in our conduct. We are to live as strangers in this world. It should be evident to people that we operate by a different standard, different clock. If the ways of this world, like I said, are too familiar, or too comfortable for us, then there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a disconnection. God has called us to live holy lives for Him in this world. It is His will that we live and we reflect His image. In 1 Thessalonians 3, it says, it is God's will that you be sanctified, that you stay away from what the world, sexual immorality and so many other things, that the world just running for that. You are to be distinct. This is one of those passages that's so practical for all of us too. We want to know what God's calling us to do. Yes, He's calling us to be holy in this life. And holy means to live life set apart for Him in obedience to His will. Holy means that I do things according to His standard. He already gave me a manual by which we are to operate. And you know, my friends, the temptation is always going to be, because the flesh is not going to give up on us. The flesh, the sinful nature is always going to get us. And it's like somebody said, like our lives is like you have two tigers. The Tom and Jerry cartoon portrays this very well. Some of you that grew up watching the cartoon, like every decision, he has this good angel here and the other one telling him, don't do it. And he's just like this. Many of us like that every time. And it's like, who's going to win the battle? You know who's going to win the battle? The one you pay the most attention to. One day you pay attention to the good angel and you go, you're doing God's will. The other day it's like, you're going with this one. Every decision you make, you're either going to please God or you won't. Every decision, everything we do in this life, we're either going to reflect God or at times we're not reflecting it. You know how it is, like parents, we have kids and sometimes like the kids, because they have your DNA, there's something that kid does or doesn't do that you look, it's like, wow, he got that from mom or he got that from daddy. That's the image. They bear your image. And that kid will do something later on, and you want to say, where did you get that from? Your mom and your dad don't do that. Like, well, because the image is being tarnished. So it's like, as God is our father, he expects his children to reflect that. He was just like, wow, look, my kids are behaving so well. And that makes dad, mom, and dad so proud. It's like, we taught you well. That's how you do it. But occasionally, you know that they're going to disobey you, and they go, and then God will say, hey. So we either reflect him or not. You either go with the standard that he has given us, or we're not. My friends, as Christians, he's calling us, commanding us to live holy lives for him. As he who calls you is holy, be holy, he says, in all that we do. May the Lord help us and guide us and remind us constantly to live for his standard everywhere we go. Even when you drive here, you're going to be tempted to go against God. Remember, he's calling us to live holy lives, to be distinct, separated, consecrated for him. Now, is it evident in what we do? My prayer is that it will be evident to anybody else that we have a different standard by which we operate.